Well, this morning our speaker comes from the big town of Sierra Vista, Arizona. Scott met us here a number of years ago. He might have a better idea than me. I've gotten old, so years don't mean much. But he was stationed at Wainimi out here in the Navy. He has since retired and is now preaching for the Sierra Vista Church of Christ. So, Scott Dalrymple.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is great to be here. I'm getting older too, Jim, and I can't see the clock back there. So if I go more than an hour and a half, raise your hand and just do this, and I'll ask you what's wrong with your arm. A few weeks ago, last fall, I went to a football game at my old high school, and I ran into Jasmine. She's one of the young girls from our church, and she's on the high school wrestling team. And so we were talking, and one of the school coaches came up to us, and Jasmine started to introduce him to me, and he said, "Oh, Jasmine," cut her off. He said, "I've known Scott for many years. We took care of the right side of the defensive line in football here back in Tombstone back in the day." A little bit later, her wrestling coach came up and Jasmine started to introduce us. And he cut her off and he said, "No, Scott and I go way back." And Jasmine, at that point, she turned to me and she said, "So do you just know everybody?" Well, in a small town, you kind of do. How many of you have taken a driver's license test in the last 5 years? How about the last 10, last 25? When you come to a stop sign, push the wrong button there. All right. When you come to a stop sign similar to this, in fact, Jim, we just drove through one today. Where are you supposed to stop? Is it behind the stop bar? Is it at the stop sign? Or is it actually at the corner where you can see where you're going? A few years back on a dark night on a lonely street in Yuma, I stopped back behind the stop bar. And then I eased forward slowly and drove on through the intersection. And wouldn't you know it, there was a police officer just down the street that I had just crossed. And from his perspective, he didn't see me stop. And he wrote me a ticket. Now Bob, a very good friend of mine, was a ways behind me. And he stopped after he saw I got stopped, and he started to get out of his car, and the policeman told him to get back in his car, so Bob did. You know, that part when they read you your rights and they say, if you cannot afford a lawyer, one will be provided for you? Bob was one of those kind of lawyers. And Bob went to bat for me. And so he went and talked to the city prosecutor on my behalf. I never even had to go. He told the prosecutor that he had witnessed the entire event and that he would testify that I did come to a stop. And pretty soon I got a letter from the city attorney's office saying I didn't need to come to court and that they would not be pursuing the ticket and I didn't have to pay. And it is good to have friends in high places. But I want to tell you something. I would much rather have friends in low places. Did Garth Brooks write a song about that? I think there was something like that. And what I mean is this. Rather than having to depend on having some friends in some high up positions of the government to take care of me in my life, I would much rather have some friends who were down on their knees praying for me. Friends in low places. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 25. Paul says, "Friends, please pray for us." And one of my favorite descriptions of a friend praying for you is found in one of Paul's letters, the letter to the church at Colossae. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12, he describes the care and the concern that his fellow Christian and co-worker Epaphras had for the Christians in Colossae. And it says, Epaphras is always wrestling in prayer for you. That's the kind of friend I want to have. Someone who's willing to get down on the mat and wrestle for me in prayer. I'd like to know that I had a friend like the girl Jasmine who'd be in those low places praying for me. I'd be honored to have my fellow Christian soldiers from the Oliver Battalion with the troops there in Ventura bowing on their knees, asking the commander-in-chief to bless and watch over and protect Lieutenant Dalrymple. So my message this morning is challenging you to become someone's friend in low places, praying for your brothers and sisters in Christ. The Apostle Paul faced some challenging times, and he begged the Christians in Rome to pray for him. In Romans 15, verse 30, he says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. My heart goes out to Terry and her family, because we have our struggles. We have tough times. For me, 2017 was the worst year of my life. It was my 40th year as a Christian. I remember at the beginning of the year telling the church that I'd been a Christian for 40 years. And it just seemed like as soon as I preached that sermon, Satan came at me full throttle. And we don't have time to go into all the details, but he attacked me. He attacked me at work. I got reprimanded for trying to encourage my coworkers. I got in trouble with management for pointing out some of their blatant math errors. And there were lots of arguments and yelling at me, and I was angry at them. He attacked me in my personal life. And spiritually speaking, I didn't get as much encouragement as I would like to have had. It was a rough year. At one point, I had to humble myself down and do a lot of apologizing. And some of that wasn't even accepted by the people I was apologizing to. Bottom line, it was a hard year spiritually. But there was one thing I did have going for me. I had some friends in low places praying for me. I had a convicted felon praying for me every day. And he knew Satan was after me. He told me. He said, Scott, Satan has a big target on your back. I'm praying for you every day. A convicted felon. A poor widow was praying for me. I had a school child praying for me daily. A wife, a soldier, a mom. Someone who didn't vote the same way I voted. There were some preachers praying for me. It's good to know that I have friends in low places. And I was particularly encouraged by Jesus' statement that was read for us today in Matthew chapter 18 regarding the prayers of two or three Christians praying together about anything on earth. And that inspires us. It should inspire us. Inspires me. One of the most important scriptures concerning prayer, I believe, is found in James chapter 5 and verse 16. Here we go. It says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I would tell you that when I was stationed here, living here, coming to church here, I had a friend like that. in Jim. And I could talk to him about things that were going on in my life. And I could do what it says here in James chapter 5. And we need to be willing and able to do that for one another. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, I love this. It says, keep on praying. And of course, there's the illustrations that Jesus used to encourage people to not give up and to keep praying. I don't know how many of you are aware, but you guys have a church prayer chain here. If you're not aware of that, if you don't have a copy, if you're not on the list, you need to get on it. It's one of the most effective ways that we as a church can be in the low places and be praying for one another. At the very minimum, take the bulletin home with you this week and simply pray every day for the folks that are listed on it. Go to church prayer meetings. You know, a lot of churches don't have those anymore. In Isaiah chapter 56, it says, my house will be called a house of prayer. And I like the illustration today about that's what churches are supposed to be about and the statement that was made. And there are some things that people expect churches to be about. And one of them is helping other people. And one of them is that it should be a place of prayer. And we want to be a church that's known where we pray for one another. And I'd like to encourage you this morning, take that serious. To desire to become a praying friend for someone else. Just look around this morning. Find one or two or five or ten friends and say, I'm going to become your prayer warrior. Your prayer wrestler. I'll go to the mat for you. 50 years ago, I remember a lady at my church. Her name was Nora. I was just a little boy. She was a tall, thin lady. Her husband didn't come to church. And our church back then on Wednesday nights, they were prayer meetings. And I have two memories of Nora. We always got down on our knees for prayer back then. The pews were very hard, and Nora could pray. It seemed like she'd pray for at least an hour. It was probably only 5 minutes, but for a five-year-old, that was quite an ordeal. And still to this day, if I hear someone's prayer go more than 5 minutes, I think of Nora. Nora could pray, and I remember that Nora prayed for her husband George to become a Christian. We moved away from that church. About 10 years later, I went back to visit my grandparents, and we went to Wednesday night prayer meeting. And Nora was still getting on her knees and wrestling in prayer, and she was still praying for her husband George to come to the Lord. Many years later, I was married, was in the Navy, had kids of my own, and I'll never forget the day my mom called and said, George was baptized today. Nora and George have both gone on to their heavenly reward. But I'd love to spend another Wednesday night listening to Nora wrestling in prayer. That's the kind of friends I need in low places. One Christian author tells about his father's prayer wrestling, and he says, Dad spent so much time on his knees in prayer that he wore out the tops of the toes of his shoes before the soles wore out. I want to end this morning by considering the example that Jesus set for us. A few hours before his crucifixion, Jesus was on his knees in the garden at Gethsemane, praying. The Bible says his prayers were so intense that he had sweat dripping off his body. It doesn't say that, but in my mind, like a wrestler has sweat dripping off their body. And do you know who he was praying for? If you're filling out blanks this morning there on the blue sheet of paper, I want you to write this in there. Because in addition to asking for strength to endure what he was about to go through and praying for the apostles to stay faithful, Jesus was praying for me and for you. Write me in that blank. John chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus says, my prayer is also for all those who will believe the message of the apostles. He looked down through 20 centuries and said, I'm praying for that person. That night, Jesus wrestled in prayer on the dirt floor of a garden for you and me. I told you that 2017 was a hard year for me. But I believe that in addition to the convict and the fathers and the widows who were praying for me, I believe that Jesus was also interceding for me. And he wasn't surprised at how difficult it was. He wasn't disappointed when my reactions were less than admirable. He didn't give up on me when I was so emotionally distraught that I wanted to give up. And the Holy Spirit at that time reminded me of the time when Jesus told Peter that he was going to betray Jesus. You might remember this. This is found back in Luke chapter 22. And Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded the right to sift all of you as wheat. If you didn't grow up in Kansas, you probably can't appreciate that concept. But last fall, I had an interesting experience. Took the grandkids and went to a farm. And so this isn't about wheat, it's about corn. And I didn't know this, but when you stepped into the corn, I sunk. It was only about ankle deep, but it was enough to bury my grandson in, and he thought that was pretty cool. But it reminded me of another time, because I had gone to my brother-in-law's farm and we had climbed to the top of the silo that was filled with corn, and he could see that I was getting ready to dive in because it looked like fun. And Scott, my brother-in-law's name was Scott, also said, don't do it. It's lighter than water. He said, you'll sink. And I thought about that as I thought Jesus used that illustration and said, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. You jump into a pile of wheat and you're going to go down. It's worse than water trying to swim out of that. And that's what Satan wants to do to every one of us as Christians. But Jesus said, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And again, if you're filling in the blanks there and you've already written the word Simon, I want you to take your pen and strike through that. Because when we read that passage, we need to read it to say, I have prayed for you, Scott Dalrymple, so write your name there. Jesus said, I have prayed for you, Scott, that your faith may not fail. That's encouraging to know. That Jesus cares about you and that he's willing to intercede on your behalf when you're going through those tough times, when Satan is beating you about the head and shoulders, when the world seems to be falling apart. Jesus says, I'm praying for you that your faith may not fail. We know Peter's faith, he stumbled. And Jesus knew that was going to happen. And we know how Peter and Jesus made up later, but I want you to listen to this, because right after Jesus said, I pray that your faith may not fail, he said, and when you have repented, it's like he knew what was going to happen. He did know what was going to happen. He knows what was going to happen in my case. He knows what's going to happen in your case. But Jesus says, when you have repented, come back to me. Strengthen your brothers. My challenge to you today is that you will become a prayer wrestler. Someone who's willing to bend to low places, like getting down on your knees. Someone who isn't too proud, but will pray powerful and effective prayers for your brothers and sisters in Christ. As I said that, My grandson is learning to pray, and we have him pray every opportunity he gets. And my daughter has said, now, Jace, you know, Grandpa's a little hard of hearing. Make sure you pray loud. We'll get there in the restaurant, and Jace, will you pray? Dear God, bless this food to our bodies. Someone who isn't too proud will pray those powerful and effective prayers for your brothers and sisters in Christ. At the close of the day, when you kneel to pray, will you remember me? I need help every day. This is why I pray. Will you remember me? When you pray, will you pray for me? For I need His love and His care. When you pray, will you pray for me? Will you whisper my name in your prayer? The second half of that verse, our song, is the answer to that. It says, yeah. At the close of the day, when I need kneel to pray, I will remember you. You need help every day. And that is why I pray. And I will remember you. When I pray, I will pray for you. For you need His love and His care. When I pray, I will pray for you. I will whisper your name in my prayer. Would you bow with me? Lord God Almighty, we want to be like Epaphras and wrestle in prayer for our fellow Christians. Help us to have the love of your Holy Spirit so that we can join them in their struggles and pray for them. Give us power. Give us courage. Make us strong. Help us to be prayer wrestlers. Help us to endure. We confess our sins to you. And Lord, if our faith has failed, we repent. Help us to get back up when we get knocked down. Help us to get back up and come back to you. And help us to strengthen our brothers and sisters. This morning, Lord, I pray for each person here who has placed their faith in your mercy and your grace, had their sins washed in the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And if there are those who have not, I ask, Lord, that they would see that now is the day, now is the time to join this family of believers, to become one of your children, forgiven of their sins. I ask for your blessing in each person's life here. I ask that you would embolden them to be more fervent in prayer, more outspoken for you, and more dedicated to serving you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.